I really mean that. I really mean that. I want the Lord to use me anytime, anywhere he chooses. Our preaching material for today is found in the book of Judges, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Judges chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I would urge you all to read the entire third chapter. We will be preaching from this chapter for the next few weeks or so. And if it is not familiar territory, you might find it helpful to include it in your devotional reading on this week. Judges chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 reads like this. These are the nations the Lord left to test. Somebody say test. Yes. To test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites living in the Lebanon mountains from Mount Baal Hermon to below Hamath, they were left to test, there's that word again, test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given their ancestors through Moses. As you take your seats, I want to talk today about learning from the mistakes of others. Learning from the mistakes of others. The subtitle for today is testing, testing, testing. Can you see that knowing history gives you the opportunity to learn from the mistakes of others? Can y'all see that? If you see somebody else came running down here and bust their head in the wall, the hope is you won't keep running down, come running down here and bust your head in the same wall. You ought to be able to learn from the mistakes of others. It's my sincere prayer that my children would learn from mistakes I've made. I want my grandchildren, I don't want them to run into the same ditch that I've run into in life. Do you have anybody in your life you care enough about that you'd want them to learn from the mistakes that you've made on your journey? And then surely we can see that there's other people who have made some mistakes, and we ought to strive to avoid making the same mistake they've made. When you see people who just 2 years ago were upstanding citizens, contributing, had family together, had a decent job, they was doing all right for themselves, but here they are now, strung out on drugs, addicted to heroin, addicted to pain medicine prescribed by the doctor. You ought to look at that and say, man, I don't want to be like that. You ought to strive to avoid those problems. If you're already caught up, you ought to get yourself in treatment as soon as you can. How many of y'all know the sooner you get in treatment, the sooner you can get clean and stay clean? And then there are people, perhaps, don't look around, but perhaps there's people you know who have essentially wasted their life. They have spent years being angry at people who don't care nothing about them being angry. They have neglected their health. They've wasted their money on silly stuff. They don't have strong, healthy relationships. Oh, they got a couple of people who tolerate them. But when they get in a pinch, the people who come through can be counted on one hand with fingers left over. There are some people who, if they died today, we would have to make up something to say about what did you do all of your life. My hope is we would look at this and say, Lord, I don't want to live my life like that. All I'm trying to get you to do is get with me on this learning from the mistakes of others. Because this whole series is going to be about learning from the mistakes of the people in Judges chapter 3. Now, this would be helpful. When you think about the book of Judges, there's a four-part cycle that plays itself over and over and over again. These are the four parts. The people of God sin. God punishes the people because of their sin. The people cry out in repentance. The Lord sends a deliverer, a judge, to get them out of trouble, just so they can sin again. God punishes them again. They cry out in repentance again. God sends another judge to get them out of trouble. They go back into sin. God sends some more punishment. They cry. God deliver. This is the cycle over and over again. In Judges chapter 3, we're going to see this cycle play itself out. These people sinned because they flunked the tests of God. And so the thesis for today is we should work on passing God's tests. Plural, more than one test is what I'm talking about. The first issue of our sermon is testing as a soldier, which I repeat after me, testing as a soldier. Notice in verses 1 and 2, God is said to have left some nations, some enemies in Canaan for the purpose of testing these younger Israelites who had not been engaged in battle of their own. Their parents had fought some battles, but these young folk in verses 1 and 2 had not shed blood on their own. And so what does God do? He sends some trouble into their life so that they can learn how to be a good soldier. May I put several things on your mind? First of all, God may be testing you as a soldier. I know that's not helpful. I know that doesn't make you shout, but it's true anyhow. The reason why things may be so challenging in your life is because God is trying to get you to soldier up. It's been my experience. There are some things you can learn from books. Formal education has its place. Interviewing people, talking to people who have wisdom, been down some roads you haven't gone down, you can learn a whole lot from them. But there are some stuff you can't learn from the book and you can't learn from others' experience. How many of y'all know there are some stuff you got to go through all by yourself? And therefore, perhaps sometimes the reason why trouble keeps raging in your life, it's a possibility that God is trying to train you to be a good soldier. Now, it's easy to praise the Lord. It's easy to serve God when you're happy, when you're healthy, when you got money in both pockets, when you're loving on your people and your people loving on you. Everybody can praise and serve the Lord then. But if you want to see what kind of a soldier you are, you got to ask yourself, what do you do in the time of trouble? I mean, even the strange looking creatures in the Sunday school lesson today had enough sense to praise him. But notice he was praising up in heaven. But can you praise down here on earth in the midst of stormy weather? How do you praise God when you don't feel like praising him? And you know, some of you all might want to examine that because some of y'all look like y'all don't want to praise him right now. When you come to church and you just don't feel like all of that, can you soldier on and give God his due praise anyhow? When your health is low, can you give God a sacrificial praise the Lord? When your money is funny, do you give God your best in service? When those you want to love on you are hating on you, can you still put a smile on your face and talk about how faithful is our God? I'm lifting this because in order to be a good soldier, you and I have to go through some testing, some training, some fighting. And yes, I know you don't want to hear this, but it's true, some suffering. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Timothy 2, 3. Thank God for the insert in your bulletin. It says, join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Now, if you're with me so far, this question ought to be in your thinking. What is involved in being a good soldier for the Lord? Okay, Reverend, maybe I need to be a soldier, but if I'm supposed to be a soldier, what's all involved in that? That's a great question. Here is a starter list that you ought to work on. Here's the first thing you want to do if you're going to be a good soldier. You need to know your orders. I said you need to know your orders. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I've tried for 9 consecutive years to get you to see that the Bible is not just a church book. The Bible is a life book. There's principles for every area of our life in the book. If you want to be happy, study the book. If you want to be healthy, study the book. If you want to have some money in your pocket, study the book. If you want to have some good relationships in your life, study the book. If you want to keep some wicked people out of your life, study the book. If you want to live a life that people will remember after your body has grown cold, it's all in the book. Now, I'm thankful the Bible has some good stuff about evangelism and edification, love, worship, community involvement, excellence, the values of the church. That's in the book as well. But many of us, most of us, have lives outside of the church. What I'm trying to get you to see is the Bible is not just a church book. The Bible is a life book, but you got to study the book. Mm-hmm. Then the second thing, Reverend, what else do I need to do if I'm going to be a good soldier? You need to stay in communication with your chain of command. If you're going to be a good soldier, we're not Rambos. We're not just running out here making stuff up as we go. We are part of a unit, and you got to stay in communication with your chain of command. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, 2 words say, pray continually. Don't get so busy that you can't pray. Don't get so frustrated with life or with the people in your life that you stop praying. Make some time to pray. And what I have discovered is that all of that talk around church, prayer changes things, prayer changes things. If you pray, you'll discover prayer does not always change things the way you want it. That's why the church is still in the situation it's in. That's why the community is still in the situation it's in. That's why our country is still in the situation it's in. If prayer changes things and you've been praying, why aren't things changed? Sometimes you pray your best prayer and the Lord does not give you what you want right now. But I've discovered when you pray your best prayer and prayer doesn't change things, if you let it, prayer can still change you. I don't know about y'all. I said, when I pray my best prayer and prayer does not change things the way I want it changed, I have discovered if I let it, prayer can change me. Some have prayed, Lord, take my enemies away. Take my enemies away. And sometimes instead of the Lord taking your enemies away, the Lord gives you strength to stand up in the very presence of your enemies. Instead of the Lord taking your haters away, the Lord prepares a table for you in the very presence of your enemies and then make your enemies serve you at the table. I mean, I prayed prayers, Lord, move this person out of the way. And instead of the Lord moving the person out of the way, the Lord gave me strength to be gracious even to those who can't stand you. Some of us have been praying. I'm trying to lighten the mood now because y'all took that way too personal. I'm trying to lighten the mood. Some of us have been praying, Lord, send us some warmer weather. And instead of the Lord sending us warmer weather, the Lord has made us appreciate we still got a coat, even though we're wearing it in April. Prayer doesn't always change things the way we want them change. But even when it doesn't change things, if you let it, it can change you. If you're going to be a good soldier, yes, you need to know your orders. Yes, you need to stay in communication with your chain of command. But thirdly, and perhaps more significantly, or just as significantly, is you and I must expect and endure suffering. Which I'll repeat after me. Expect and endure suffering. Some of us act as if we thought that when we got saved, the Christian life would be like being in a spirited worship service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. But some of us have lived long enough to know that on this journey, this Christian journey, there are some hills and some valleys. There are some dark midnights, but then there are some bright sunny noons. On this journey, there are some ferocious storms, but then there are such peaceful calms. You run into some friends, but you also run into some foes. On this journey, there are some weeping nights, and then Psalms 30 verse 5b says there's also some joyful mornings. As you and I journey along over the mountains, down through the valleys, you and I must practice learning how to stay calm and stay focused on living for Jesus. You and I do not hit the storms of life and throw in the towel on God. You and I make up in our minds that come what may, I'm going to praise and I'm going to serve the Lord. When my whole life is upside down, I'm still going to praise Him. When I got aches and pains in my body, I'm still going to give my best in service. When my revenue streams are drying up and my bills are piling up, I still give God my best in service. I don't allow frustration and disappointment with people to stop me from being a soldier of the Lord. No, no. In all of these things, you and I must resolve to soldier on. Because if you and I cannot handle training days, we will surely fail warfare days. In the military, they have what they call basic training. And the purpose of basic training is to get you ready for the real live thing. In basic training, you know what time you're going to wake up in the morning. In basic training, we use blanks in combat. In basic training, they give you time to put on your gear. Basic training is designed to get you ready for the real thing. How many of y'all know in the real thing, they don't use blanks, they use real bullets. In the real warfare, they don't give you time to put on your uniform and put on your gear. They want to hit you before you put on your bulletproof vest. So then instead of bemoaning your training days, learn how to tell the Lord, thank you for getting me ready for warfare. Some of us may have had parents that we thought were too hard on us. Why I got to do this and why I got to do that? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? But now that the light bill come with your name on it, now that the rent and the mortgage got your name on it, now that you got to pay for the gas at the gas pump, you can see that as hard as they may have been on you, they have not been harder on you than this world has been on you. Can I get a witness in here? So then instead of bemoaning how hard life has been, learn how to tell the Lord, thank you for making me stronger to be able to handle the warfare of life. You and I must leave this sermon with a mindset to be a warrior for the Lord instead of some whining, complaining victim. It doesn't help you to have pity parties and then invite other people to your party to help you feel sorry about yourself. Into all of our lives, some rain and some pain must come. Will you handle it as a warrior or will you handle it as a wimp? The Lord said, I left these people here to teach you how to fight. I left them here so you can learn how to conduct yourself in warfare. And I love this passage of scripture because I think it is so timely for especially the young people in this room who may never, I pray God, you will never hear about somebody being lynched. I pray that this generation will not have to go back to the white only drinking fountain and black sit in the back of the bus. I hope those days are done. But if you're not careful, you'll raise a generation who don't know anything about struggle, don't know anything about warfare, don't know anything about fighting for it. There's too many, young and old, I might add, who have this strange sense of entitlement. Somebody owe you something. What the Lord is teaching these people in Judges chapter 3, don't nobody owe you anything. If you want it, fight for it. If you want it, work for it. Put a hump in your back. Go earn what you want. This is a timely point that we may not have lynch mobs, but the political unrest from our local level, through our state, through our national levels is enough to keep you praying. There's some young person who may have done quite well in high school, came out of high school and went to the college of your choice, got enough scholarship, parents had enough money, you made your way through college. You got a four-year degree in 4 years. Do you know how many people get a four-year degree in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years? Come on, you made it through 4 years and the Lord blesses you to get a job. You know, these kind of young people scare me. The kid that can make it through high school, straight through college, straight into a good job, they scared me because they haven't taken a body blow yet. Everybody can be good when things are good. Can you be good when things go bad? Can you be good when you fail the midterm exam? Can you do good when the scholarship money dry up on you and now you got to go get a job, and instead of you doing it in 4, you got to do it in 5, or you got to do it in 6. The job you thought you had, it got somehow passed on to somebody else. Can you take a body blow? Because in this life, it's not going to always be howdy, howdy, and Sunday morning. On this journey, you got some Monday morning stuff you got to put up with. It's a Tuesday morning stuff you got to put up with. And my prayer is that you leave here today with a mind to treat whatever challenge comes into your life as a warrior, as a soldier of the Lord, and not just some complaining, whining victim. It does not serve you, and you embarrass the rest of the army every time you're crying about stuff that so many others have already gone through. But the testing was not only to try to help them be a good soldier. Secondly, testing was concerned with their commitment to God. I said their testing was also concerned with their commitment to God. If you read that third and the fourth verse, it says, they were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given their ancestors through Moses. Lord wanted to know, with this generation who had seen the ups and downs of their parents and grandparents, would they do any better with obeying the word of the Lord? A few points here and we'll be out of your way. First thing I want to tell you is God may be testing your commitment. Why do I have so much going on in my life? I mean, I pray and I study. I don't bother anybody. I'm trying to do right, but it seemed like I can't catch a break. Every time I turn around, there's one thing after another, that evil is always present in my heart. I want to do what's right, but evil is always knocking at the door. It's possible that God is testing your commitment. Let's think about it. When God calls you to pay your tithes and give your offering, but you desire to spend your money for other purposes, who wins that battle? When God calls us to invite and bring people with us to worship, to growth group, to our study period, but you desire to have this nonverbal, ineffective witness, who wins that battle? When God is calling us to prayerfully study and obey his word in every area of our life, but we desire to have some areas we just gonna run by ourselves. And you know, some of us think we have a treaty with God. The terms of the treaty go something like this. Lord, I'm gonna be here on Sunday morning and I'm gonna do the best I can with praise, but Friday night and Saturday night are mine. And you think that if you can just do your thing on Saturday and do God's thing on Sunday, then God ought to be happy. How many of y'all know God want to be God of all of your life? There's nothing more holy about Sunday than Saturday. Friday is the day that the Lord has made. All of the time belongs to the Lord. Sometimes God allows trouble to persist to test our faith to see will we obey him or will we go chasing after another. Now, this raises the question, if I'm anywhere in the neighborhood of making sense, you ought to be asking this question, why should I obey God? If I'm already saved, if I'm already in the land of Canaan, if all is already going my way, why should I obey the Lord? I think that's a reasonable question. Here's three reasons why. First of all, obedience leads to blessing. I said obedience leads to blessings. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, some of y'all can preach this part of the sermon. You know that when you obey God, God has a way of keeping food on your table. He has a way of keeping peace in your heart. He has a way of giving you strength to press on. Can't nobody do us like the Lord. So that's one good reason why we ought to obey the Lord. It leads to our blessings. But a second reason why you and I ought to obey the Lord is because disobedience leads to misfortune. May I read this scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. This is not familiar territory. So lend me your attention. It says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. And you know, this is what the preacher does every Sunday morning. Stand up and give you the truth as best they know it, and then you have a duty to choose life or death, to choose blessings or curses. Now, this is what confuses us. If we could keep our mind on blessings and curses, life and death, that would be a no-brainer decision then. Everybody would choose the blessing, everybody would choose the life. Here's what distracts us. The devil is always hanging some cheese in front of us. He's always distracting us with what seems to be a possible alternative. How many of y'all know the devil knows what you like? And then he will dangle in front of you what you like. And he don't try to get you all the way out in left field in one stroke. He just wants you to go a little bit out there. And then a little bit further next week. And then a little bit further next month. And by the time of you get to the end of the year, won't nobody even believe you was on the right road going the right way. Mark my word, the devil always dangles cheese in front of us. What he does not tell us is that the cheese is in a mousetrap. And we are the mice. Whatever pleasure the devil dangles in front of us, trust me when I tell you, at the end of the story, you're going to wish you had left that cheese alone. I'm preaching right now. I know we can't be that real, but there are some cheating man, some cheating woman who wish they could roll back the hands of time and leave that cheese alone. I know we can't be that real. We can't be that real. That there's somebody who thought, well, Reverend, if I could just take the edge off. I mean, you had a very stressful week and you thought that if you just hit this pipe one time, everything is going to be all right. Just mellow you out a little bit. Your friend's been doing it, and you know you're not trying to be an addict or nothing. You're just trying to take the edge off. And so you hit it one time, and then you hit it one more time. And here you are now hitting it in the morning, hitting it at noon, hitting it in the afternoon, hitting it in the evening. First time you, soon as you wake up in the morning, you're looking for your pipe. Can't you see the devil is not doing anything but just dragging you into his mousetrap? There's somebody who's being dragged into stinking thinking. Here we are years after the offense, but you live that offense over and over in your mind as if it happened just yesterday. You walking around with hard feelings, with malice in your heart, can't even hardly say hello, can't say good morning, don't want to show the few teeth you got left in your head because you upset with somebody. That's exactly where the devil wants you to be. But then thirdly, finally, as we get ready to close, why should we obey the Lord? There are blessings, absolutely. Disobedience leads to misfortune. Absolutely. Not taking that back. But here is the top shelf reason. Here's the number one reason why you and I ought to stop trying to do it our way and just line up with God's way. Y'all ready for it? Here's the third reason. We owe the Lord. I said we owe the Lord. When you look at the people in Judges chapter 3, the Lord had already been so good to them. Y'all remember? The Lord brought the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. The Lord brought them over the Red Sea under Moses, kept them for some 40 long years as they wandered around in the wilderness. Then the Lord rose up Joshua, dried up the Jordan River, allowed the people to cross over on dry ground. Ah, it was in Canaan where the Lord tore down the walls around Jericho. Victory after victory, the Lord gave the Israelites, and no doubt as they look back over their history, somebody should have said, the reason we ought to obey God is because we owe him. Well, if you think that they owe the Lord because of how he brought them out of Egypt, I urge all of us to look back over our own lives and see how good the Lord has been to each and every one of us. If we were to pass the microphone around, you would run into somebody that says, the Lord has been my doctor in a sick room. Mm-hmm. keep passing the mic, and somebody would say, the Lord has been my joy in the time of sorrow. Yes, Lord, keep on passing the mic, and somebody would say, the Lord kept food on my table. And the Lord kept a shelter over my head. Oh, Lord, keep on passing the mic. And somebody would say, the Lord has made a way out of no way at all. I owe the Lord. Somebody else would say, I owe the Lord because he's been a friend in a friendless land. Yes, Lord. When I was younger, I would have taken this exit. But I've been around long enough to know that everybody is not shouting yet. There's somebody here, you can't say it out loud, but down in your heart, you're wondering, do I really owe God my best in service? Because after all, my life is not as comfortable as so many others. I'm looking at somebody. After all of these years, you're still living from hand to mouth. After all of these years, your health is still falling apart. After all of these years, your family is in disarray. Marriage has been over. Children have proven to be so disappointing. And the devil is suggesting, because you don't have it like your neighbor have it, then you don't owe as much as your neighbor owes. You may describe your life as being jacked up from the floor up. And you're wondering, how much do you owe the Lord? I'm so glad I hear the question. Now please, 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 y'all, give me a minute to respond. What do I owe the Lord when my money is funny? What do I owe the Lord when my health is shot? What do I owe the Lord when my family is in disarray? Well, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Can I have a minute on Romans 5 and 8? I'm trying to defend the point. We all owe the Lord. The reason you owe the Lord in your apartment, the reason you owe the Lord riding the bus when you got bus fare is because while we were yet sinners, Christ
died for us. And the reason that is such good news is because his death satisfied our sin debt. Can I get a witness here? Jesus, his death paid for you and I to have a right to the tree of life. I wish I had a witness here. Because of Jesus, I can wake up every morning with two realities in my spirit. The first one is, no matter how bad life may be today, it could have been worse. Did you hear what I said? Yes, it might look bad, but when I'm thinking over, I realize it could have been worse. I'm complaining about my feet hurt, but when I think about it, I could have had my foot amputated a long time ago. I'm complaining about how nobody appreciates me on my job. But when I think about it, there's so many people that don't even have a job to report to. I'm complaining about I can't afford to go to Papa Do's. I can't afford to go to Smokes. But I must admit, it could have been worse. I haven't gone to Papa Do's, but it's also true. I can't remember when I missed breakfast. I can't remember when I missed lunch. I may have had lunch at McDonald's, but I had lunch. I may have had lunch. I may have had dinner at home. It may have just been pork and beans and wieners, but I had dinner every day. It could have been worse. Yes, after all of these years, I'm still in an apartment, but it could have been worse. My apartment is better than the shelter. My apartment is better than sleeping under the bridge. It could have been worse. But then there's another thing on my mind, and that is it will get better. Yes, I know that I know the Lord hasn't brought me this far just to leave me now. It won't always be like this. The Lord, he will complete that work he started in me sooner. I wish y'all to help me call it sooner or later. It's gonna turn around in my favor. Can I get a witness that know that God, he's working it out for your good? Isn't that good news? Now I know God will work it out down here for over 90% of us in the room. But let me talk to that 10% who may die in your struggle. Family may never come back together. Your money may never get right. I still got good news. I still got good news. Don't turn the channel. Don't leave me yet. I still got good news. Troubles don't last. Troubles don't last. Troubles don't last. Always. I got good news for you. One of these old days, you're gonna shed mortality. One of these old days, you're gonna shed all of your trials, all of your tribulations. I got good news for you. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Please don't turn the channel yet. Up there in glory is always howdy, howdy, and never goodbye. Up there in glory, no more walking canes, no more eyeglasses, no more medicine. Oh, I'm glad I got life when this world has passed me by. I hear the skeptic laughing at me, saying that old preacher is just talking about pie in the sky. That's all right, keep on laughing, but I remind you, he who laughs, laughs, laughs best. Let's see who laughs on the other side of the grave. Let's see who laughs the best in that great getting up morning. I'm glad, I'm glad, I'm glad I got my business fixed. When it's all over down here, my name is already written in the Lamb's book of life. Is your name in the book? Don't fool me now. Do you have your business fixed? Isn't it good to know it's well with the Lord? Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Thank you. Thank you. That when it's all over down here, drunk my last tears for water, there's a land where I can unstrap my sword from my side, shove it in the sand of time, study war no more. There's more to this than what you see. I want you to know the devil wants you to quit. But the preacher came by to tell you, don't you dare throw in the towel. The best is yet to come if you can learn from their mistakes. Learn how to soldier through suffering. Learn how to do what the Lord tells you to do, no matter how much cheese the devil puts in your path. You're going to always come out better doing it God's way. If you know the Lord wants you to pass the test, would you bow your heads in a word of prayer with me? God, we love you, and we thank you for your word. We're praying now that you'd give us the wherewithal to soldier through our times of suffering. Help us stop complaining, crying, whining so much. Help us stop being victims and learn how to be warriors in the time of trouble. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We are already more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Help us, Lord, as we journey along in the devil trying to get us off track. Help us pass the test and stay with you, come what may. And Lord, when it gets rough and when it gets tough, when we can't see our way, help us to just trust that the best is yet to come. Now, Lord, move in this place. We pray that you would help every believer live by the word as it has been preached today. And we pray that if there's anybody here who needs to accept Jesus as their Savior, anybody here that needs to get themselves in church, we pray that you would move on the altar of their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. Things are not well between God and yourself. You ought to come today.